So thank you so much for tuning in. BBC headlines are coming up next. Keep it tuned here to WORT 89.9 FM Madison.
Hello, this is Julie Candler with the BBC News. The UN Security Council has for the first time adopted a resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and the immediate and unconditional release of all hostages. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu responded by cancelling meetings between Israeli and US officials scheduled in Washington this week. From there, Gary O'Donoghue reports.
This is a significant step for the UN, which has been deadlocked for months over endorsing calls for a ceasefire. 14 countries voted in favour, with none against. The United States said the resolution threatened the diplomatic efforts currently underway to negotiate a deal. Nevertheless, Washington abstained, allowing the resolution to pass. A spokesman for the National Security Council, John Kirby, expressed disappointment that Israel had cancelled a high-level visit to Washington this week in response and insisted US policy hadn't changed.
The governing coalition in Senegal has congratulated the opposition candidate Bassirou Diomaye Faye on winning the presidential election. Provisional results from Sunday's poll showed Mr. Faye enjoying a strong lead over the former Prime Minister Amadou Ba. Richard Hamilton reports.
This is a remarkable turnaround for a country that was teetering on the brink of chaos. Just a few weeks ago, Bassirou Diomaye Faye was behind bars and President Macky Sall was doing everything he could to hold on to power. But Senegalese people are proud of their country's reputation for democracy and they turned out to vote in large numbers. Mr. Faye is popular amongst the youth and the old guard seem to have nothing to offer them.
A New York appeals court has agreed to temporarily stop the enforcement of a $464 million civil fraud ruling against Donald Trump. Netta Taufik reports from New York.
The court handed Donald Trump this lifeline right as his time was up to obtain the full bond. The New York Attorney General, Letitia James, had signaled that she would move quickly and aggressively to seize his assets if he missed today's deadline. But this court order will now prevent her from going after his bank accounts, possessions, or his iconic properties while he appeals against the judgment. He will now have 10 days to secure a much lower bond of $175 million. No doubt a massive relief for him compared to the more than $500 million he would have had to find.
Separately, Mr. Trump will face the first ever criminal trial of a former U.S. president on the 15th of April. It's in connection with hush money payments to a porn star before the 2016 election. Boeing has announced that its chief executive, Dave Calhoun, will step down by the end of 2024. He's been under pressure ever since an exit door on an Alaska Airlines Boeing 737 plane blew off mid-flight. World News from the BBC. Admitted nationwide elections may not be possible when the country holds its next vote. In an interview with Russia's TASS news agency, Min Aung Hlaing said polls could only happen when peace was restored, indirectly acknowledging the escalating violence against the junta's rule. Britain's Deputy Prime Minister Oliver Dowden says hackers affiliated to the Chinese state were responsible for two malicious cyber campaigns in Britain. Mr. Dowden told Parliament the attack did not succeed and the government was taking steps to address the threat.
This is the latest in a clear pattern of hostile activity originating in China, including the targeting of democratic institutions and parliamentarians in the United Kingdom and beyond. We have seen this in China's continued disregard for universal human rights and international commitments in Xinjiang, China's erasure of dissenting voices and stifling of the opposition under the new national security law in Hong Kong, and the disturbing reports of Chinese intimidation and aggressive behaviour in the South China Sea.
The Chinese Foreign Ministry has rejected the accusations. An Afghan media group has urged the Taliban to release a journalist who was taken into custody in the northeastern province of Kunduz. The Afghan Journalist Centre said Abdullah Ahmadi was detained with three colleagues on Sunday, but the others were released after a few hours. It's believed he was filing for an Afghan media outlet based abroad. China has released the South Korean international footballer Son Jung-ho after detaining him for 10 months on charges of corruption and bribery. He's now returned home. At the time of his arrest, Son played for the Chinese team Shandong Taishan as well as South Korea's national team. BBC News.
The 2024 Wisconsin Film Festival is coming to Madison Thursday, April 4th through Thursday, April 11th. This year's festival boasts over 140 films of all shapes and sizes, including the best cinema has to offer from all over the world and right here in Wisconsin. We've got experimental, animated, and student films, as well as documentaries, restored classics, films for kids, and more. For the first time in years, we'll be returning to both the Bartell Theater and the Barrymore Theater. Plus, we've expanded on the UW campus into Music Hall, and we are heading east to Flick's Brewhouse at the Easttown Mall. The Wisconsin Film Festival curates, promotes, and exhibits programs that showcase the art of cinema. A complete festival guide is available in the March issue of Isthmus and online, and tickets are available at wifilmfest.org. The 2024 Wisconsin Film Festival is coming to a screen near you, Thursday, April 4th through Thursday, April 11th. Helping keep local arts alive for almost 50 years, this is WORT Madison.
Six above sea level. I grab my mic because I like to take you to another mental level. Low power frequency radio.
Welcome to A Public Affair. I'm your Monday host, Douglas Haynes. It's spring break in many communities in South Central Wisconsin, and in recognition of spring break, today's show is a sonic smorgasbord celebrating educational resources for children in the Madison area. We're going to hear from folks at the Madison Children's Museum and Madison Public Library about current youth programming activities and initiatives, and we have the king of kids music here, David Landau, to start us off with some tunes to get us in the mood for kids' activities and entertainment as well. And we have a couple of kids in the studio as well. I'm going to introduce briefly my daughters, Iris and Lila, who are going to share their points of view as well. So this is...
I'm Iris, and this is my sister, Lila. Oh, and I have a sister, Lila, and she doesn't really want to talk right now. She's scared.
And how old are you?
I'm 8.
All right, and Lila is 5. And I'm going to introduce our other folks here shortly, but we're going to start off with David Landau to get us moving here in the studio or out there in your living room, wherever you are listening. We are joined in the studio by musician David Landau, who was voted Madison-based 2022 Children's Performance of the Year by the Madison Area Music Association and goes by the king of kids music around town. And we'll talk to David in a minute about where you can see him play. But what songs are you going to do for us today, David?
Well, we better start out with the brand new one. It's called We Like Cheese. It's all about macaroni and cheese. So I need these kids to raise your hand if you like to eat macaroni and cheese. Okay, hands down. Raise your hand if you like to eat macaroni and bees. Don't eat macaroni and bees.
Mac and cheese, we like to eat macaroni and cheese. Mac and bees, don't eat macaroni and bees. Mac and fleas, that's not a good idea. Don't eat macaroni and fleas. Mac and keys, don't eat macaroni and keys. Mac and cheese, we like to eat macaroni and cheese. Mac and cheese, we like to eat macaroni and cheese. Not bees, not fleas, not keys, not porcupine meat, because that's too pokey. We like cheese, macaroni and cheese.
That's my newest song, Macaroni and Cheese. Thank you, Madison, Wisconsin. The 8-year-old giving me 2 thumbs up. That's a good sign in the studio. All right.
Thank you, David. Yeah, you got another one for us?
Oh, you bet. This one, well, let me think about this. Let's do the monkey and the engineer. It's a Grateful Dead song that I learned from the Grateful Dead. And I'd like to send this one out to my wife. It was her idea that I sang this one today. We were, speaking of spring break, we just got back from the South. We were coming through the airport in Madison a few days ago, and there were families waiting to get on the airplane that we just got off of, and there were some that had children, and I could see the parents point at me and say, look, it's David Landau, it's David Landau. And I'd go and chat a little bit, and I'd go 4 feet down the aisle, and then, oh, look, it's David Landau, it's another family. And after about the third or fourth one, my wife is like, what is going on here? Why does everybody know you? I was like, you know what's going on. I'm David Landau. All right. What did I say I was going to do? Monkey and the Engineer. Once upon a time, there was an engineer. Drove his locomotive both far and near. Accompanied by a monkey who would sit on a stool. Watching everything the engineer would do. One day the engineer wanted a bite to eat. Left a monkey sitting on the driver's seat. The monkey hit the throttle, locomotive jumped the gun. Did 90 miles an hour down the main line run. Big locomotive right on time. Big locomotive coming down the line. Big locomotive number 99. Left the engineer with a worried mind. Well, the engineer called up a dispatcher on the phone. Told him all about his locomotive was gone. Switch operator, send the engine to the right. The monkey's got the main line sewn up tight. Switch operator got the message in time. A northbound's living on the same main line. Open up the section, gonna let him through the hole. Cause the monkey's got the locomotive under control. A big locomotive, a ride on time. Big locomotive coming down the line. Big locomotive number 99. I left the engineer with a worried mind. Left the engineer with a worried mind. Left the engineer with a very worried mind. Ah, thank you very much, folks. The Monkey and the Engineer.
So, David, what proportion of the songs that you perform generally are your own songs that you write and covers like that one?
I would say probably 50-50. I think I do a lot of things, you know, the wheels on the bus, the things that are familiar to the kids. And then there's just things that I come up with in my head that I have to, you know, and I always test them out when I do my shows. I do a lot of shows, and so I try the new ones, and if they don't work, I just let them go. And I don't have to bring them back. But sometimes, you know, the kids like them, and they dance around, and then I'm like, all right, I got a hit here.
Yeah, that's great. Where can folks see you these days? See you play?
Oh boy, it's well, the deal is, and in Madison it's going to be fine, but from throughout the country, this sounds a little weird. I do a kid show in a bar every Monday night at the Harmony Bar here in Madison on the east side on Atwood Avenue at 5:30. I'm there every Monday night doing a kid show. At first, I was like, this might not be a good idea to do a kid show in a bar. It is actually the best idea I've ever had in my life. The kids show in a bar. It's awesome.
Great idea for parents. I can say that.
Yeah, it's really great. Yeah, and it's, you know, the people bring the kids, of course. And so that's all. We have the whole back room. And it's like, you know, we don't really mix too much with the front room or anything. But it's just fun to say I do a kid show in a bar. Especially if I'm in like Des Moines doing a show or something, and I say, oh, back in Madison, I do a kid show in a bar, and they're like, what are you talking about? That doesn't sound like a good idea.
So you travel a fair amount as well.
Oh, yeah, every day if I can. Yeah, I'm on the road quite a bit. I travel around in a private Jetta. Gets me there real well. Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that laughter.
All right, you got one more quick tune for us to take us out.
Yeah, I mean, I got
not
one
take us
more
out
more
of the show, but to transition here to some other folks.
Yeah, I tell
it's
you,
David I'll, Landau.
Right on. I will do the very first song that I ever learned for kids. I learned it in the 90s. I was a preschool teacher in Chicago, and a guy named David Bromberg came to school to pick up his daughter, who was a student there. She was 4. And they said, David, give your guitar to this guy. He's a famous musician. And I had never heard of him before. I've heard of him now. He is a worldwide famous musician. But he was just the dad of Ruthie. And so this is from David Bromberg. I'm not sure if he wrote it, but this is how I learned it. It's called The Rooster Song. I have a rooster, my rooster loves me. I feed my rooster on a gumberry tree. My little rooster goes cock-a-doodle-doo, ee-doodle-ee-doodle-ee-doodle-ee-doo. I have a kitty, my kitty loves me. I feed my kitty on a gumberry tree. Now, I actually do have a kitty cat at home. Her name is Rosie Pearl. Shout out to Rosie Pearl. And her favorite food, I do not actually feed her on a gumberry tree. I don't know what that is exactly. But 8-year-old, do you know what her favorite food is? The 8-year-old is busy. Do you know what my kitty cat's favorite food is in real life? My real kitty? It's cat food.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, she loves cat food. It's her favorite thing to eat. She eats it every day. My little kitty goes meow, meow. My little rooster goes cock-a-doodle-doo. E-doodle-e-doodle-e-doodle-e-doo. I have a puppy dog. My puppy dog loves me. I feed my puppy dog on a gumberry tree. My little puppy dog goes arf, 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 arf. My little rooster goes cock-a-doodle-doo. E-doodle-e-doodle-e-doodle-e-doo. All right, one more. I have a mom. My mom loves me. I feed my mom on a gumberry tree. I'm getting no reaction from these children in the studio here. It's a little unsettling. My little mom goes, it's time for school. Have a wonderful day out there in the world. My little rooster goes cock-a-doodle-doo. E-doodle-e-doodle-e-doodle-e-doo. The rooster song. Thank you very much. May I mention that I have a brand new website? It's davidlandaumusic.com. It's brand new. The whole thing's all new. I have revamped my whole world. Is that what you call it? The virtual world? So I have like a YouTube channel. Once again, David Landau Music. There's also a David Landau in the world that's a comedian. So if you go, if you don't say music on the end, you might go to the comedian guy. But mine is davidlandaumusic.com, all that stuff. So well, I appreciate you letting me get that word out there.
Sure. Thanks for coming in today, David. It was great to have you kick us off with some music and celebrate the wealth of opportunities for children, entertainment, and children's education here in Madison. And you're certainly a big part of that. So thanks again for coming in.
My pleasure. Yeah.
And don't mind the kids. I think they're just a little overwhelmed by the studio here.
We got a lot of instruction to be quiet on the air. Exactly. So they were muffling some like laughter of delight.
All right. So thank you, David Landau. We're going to transition here on A Public Affair to talk about other opportunities for children here in the Madison area at the Children's Museum and the Public Library. First, I want to remind you that you're listening to A Public Affair on WRT 89.9 FM Madison. My name is Douglas Haynes, and we would love to have you call in today about your ideas, experiences, or questions with resources for children and education and entertainment here in the Madison area. You can give us a call at 608-256-2001, extension 9. And I'm about to introduce our next guest, but I think my daughter Iris here has something she wants to share. Maybe a comment with David Landau before we go. Yeah, go ahead.
Are you related to the other David Landau? Because you guys have the same last name.
That's a wonderful question. We also have the same first name. I don't think so. Not that I know of, anyway. Maybe somewhere far down the road. Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if he looks like me.
A little genealogy project, perhaps.
Yeah, good question, 8-year-old.
Thanks for the question, Iris. Okay.
I'm Iris, not an 8.
There's
I don't mean the ageist. Thank you, Iris.
More opportunity, Iris and Lila, for you to get involved here shortly. We're going to have some other folks to talk to. We're lucky to have in the studio with us today Kia Carlin, Vice President for Education and Community Engagement at the Madison Children's Museum. Welcome to Public Affair, Kia.
Thank you, Douglas.
And Brenda Baker is also here, Vice President of Exhibits, Facilities, and Strategic Initiatives. Thanks for being here, Brenda.
Thanks for having us.
So I know you have lots to share with us about new initiatives at the Children's Museum. Let's start with this new exhibit you have opening later this spring, the Nice Age Trail, and tell us a little bit more about that, and then we'll get into some other great stuff happening there too.
Yes, well, we have a new exhibit coming later this spring. We've borrowed the name a little bit from Wisconsin's Ice Age Trail, which is a great statewide trail for families and everyone who wants to get outdoors exploring. And the Ice Age Trail will bring some of that exploring inside the museum, while also including content that we call the ABCs of Kindness. So it's about exploring wild places in Wisconsin where animals live, but it's also exploring lots of ways to be kind to other people and to animals and the planet, and especially to yourself. And Brenda can tell us more about the exhibit pieces.
Sure, I would be happy to. So the exhibit is an exploration of the four seasons. So you get to start in the winter time, where it's going to be a little bit dark and there's a bear cave to explore. And you get to practice breathing with a bear who is sleeping and hibernating and snoring. Yeah, doesn't that sound like fun? And then you get to go into the springtime, and we have a giant crane nest where you get to practice, where you get to help the crane adults care for their young. And we have beehives in the summertime area. And there's all sorts of things to do. You can climb into the beehive and you can pretend that you're a bee, and you can collect pollen and feed the baby bees, and you can listen to the sounds of nature. And then in the fall area, we have a beaver dam and beaver lodge that's made out of real clay and real beaver chewed logs. And you get to go down a slide and help the beavers build the lodge. So those are some of the big pieces in the exhibit. But there's, as Kia mentioned, there's 26 different activities that go along with the letters of the alphabet. And we've been, again, all the activities are based on kindness. How can we be kind to ourselves, other people, other animals, and plants? But you'll learn all sorts of things about the different animals and plants that call Wisconsin home, just like us. The other thing I want to say is, if you come to the Children's Museum this week or in the next couple of months while we're building it, you'll have the opportunity to take a peek behind the scenes to see how we build these exhibits. So that's kind of fun, too. There's a little window that you can peek into. So, yeah.
That exhibit will open, we'll have a big opening party on May 31st and June 1st. So that's a while yet, but visitors who come during May might get invited to come help us test. We have lots of kids test things out before we open them all the way to the public, because we need to see what kids will come up with that we didn't expect in terms of how they play with the exhibit and how they use everything. So that's a fun part too.
Yeah, it sounds like a great way to combine behavioral education and nature-based education as well, and very interactive.
We share a lot of projects that we do with other children's museums around the country, and we are very lucky to have quite a bit of outdoor space and outdoor places to grow things and live animals. A lot of children's museums have zero outdoor space, so what we're trying to do here is sort of demonstrate ways that you can, you know, help kids explore nature, even if your whole museum is indoors.
I've just learned that Iris has a birthday on June 2nd, and she will probably be wanting to come to the Children's Museum on her birthday weekend, I'm guessing, to be one of the first to see the exhibit.
I'm going to bring another children's voice in here. We have a caller on the line. Jacob in Monona has called in. Jacob, welcome to A Public Affair.
Say hi.
Hi.
This is Jacob.
This is Jacob.
How are you doing, Jacob?
Good.
Do you have a question or an observation for us today about kids' activities in the Madison area?
No.
Just wanted to say hi?
Yeah.
Do you want to say hi to Jacob, Iris?
Yes, I do. Hi, Jacob.
Hi.
It's nice to hear you on the radio.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling in, Jacob.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye. Have a good day.
Douglas, I have a text into the program, which says that Frances was invited to be part of the broadcast, and she wasn't able to, and now she's extra sad because she didn't know Kia would be there. She's a good friend of mine, but she wants to help test the exhibit also. So,
great.
Frances, we will have you do that for sure.
Thank you for sharing that, Kia. Awesome. It's great to get some more kids' voices here in on the show. And if you are out there listening, families, kids, Give us a call. If you have an idea, experience, or question to share about educational activities or entertainment activities for kids, things you want to encourage people to do to take advantage of time off on spring break, give us a call at 608-256-2001, extension 9. Well, let's go back to what's happening at the Children's Museum. I know you were talking about collaborations with other children's museums around the country. Another collaboration you have is to develop a climate change education program for young children there at the Madison Children's Museum. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So we're doing a national project called Caretakers of Wonder, and this is an initiative with 8 other children's museums and science centers and museums that serve young children and families. And we have been working with lots of people in our local community to develop new resources and tools for parents and young kids on how to think about and how to talk about climate change. So we've been working with Dr. Richie Davidson in the Center for Healthy Minds, learning about empathy and resilience and how we can sort of bolster that in young people. We've been working with Dr. Jonathan Patz from the Nelson Institute, and he's a specialist in climate change and health. Dr. Gloria Ladson-Billings from the university is helping us think through how equity and inclusion issues related to climate and climate justice. And then we're working with Dr. Peter Wardrop from the University of Wisconsin as well, who's helping us with evaluation. And then lastly, we're working with Dr. David Sobel from Antioch University in New Hampshire. And he is the author of a book called Beyond Ecophobia and has done a lot of work on how do we connect kids with nature. And so these things are all coming together for us in this collaborative. And we've developed a climate action playbook for parents and caregivers and museum professionals, those who work with kids 8 and under, to help us think through how we can develop new tools and address the issues of climate change without actually even using the words climate change. So we know that with young children, we really have to talk about hope and agency and try to build up kids' connections with nature more than anything.
Yeah, it sounds like such a well thought out, comprehensive project and such a great emphasis, like you said, on developing agency. We talk a lot about that on this show, actually, about hope and agency and also how climate is so interwoven in so many aspects of daily life that often we can talk about climate while talking about lots of other things. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like you're going to find really cool ways to integrate that at a young age there in your programs. Tell us a little bit more about concretely what you imagine this looking like.
So one of the things that it looks like in our museum is the new Nice Age Trail exhibit. So we've used a lot of the principles that we've developed in this climate action playbook in the exhibit. So you'll see that'll be the most concrete example that you'll see here in Madison. But for the rest of the country, and in July, we'll be publishing our climate action playbook. And so that'll be something that'll be available on our website. We'll also be publishing issuing it out a new website that has the resources that we're developing, and then I think the ideas that we're learning about will be integrated and sort of infused into everything we do at the museum in terms of our exhibits and programs.
Wonderful, Kia, you want to add anything? Or?
We're just really excited to be doing this project, spearheading it, and getting children's museums really thinking about this—that this isn't just an issue for 12-year-olds to think about and learn about, but doing it with 4-year-olds means a much different approach that's developmentally appropriate.
Absolutely. And speaking of 4-year-olds, I think we have a 5-year-old here in the studio who wants to jump in the conversation. Lila, would you like to say something? You have to say it right here, Lila. You're scared. Okay. Do you want to say anything about what you're hearing, Iris, from them about these new exhibits at the museum?
Yes, I do. I think climate change is a really good topic to have up because we've been having weird weather and it might be because of that climate change happening, it's starting to get bad for our plants. Our plants and animals are starting to have to adapt to other, and at school on iReady I learned that it's affecting the Corn Belt. Mm-hmm. Because they're having to plant the corn earlier and earlier, trying to beat the summer heat, but they don't always make it, so there's less and less corn.
Yeah. And we used to always think of Wisconsin is having really good, clean, fresh air. And then last summer, because of fires happening very far away, forest fires, we had some days where it was a little harder to be outside.
Yeah, and we went to New Jersey right after that, and they showed us a picture. The sky was orange.
Wow.
So kids are definitely aware of these things happening around us, right? And so it's really wonderful to hear that the Children's Museum is sort of directly engaging with what kids are already experiencing and hearing about and learning about.
And what we're most excited about is the idea of helping kids learn, kids and families learn what they can do to be part of the solution. We want this, all of the work we're doing, to be really hopeful and positive.
Absolutely. So what kind of solutions, kind of oriented approaches are you including there in the exhibit or thinking about? Like, is it more individual focused or giving kids ideas about how they kind of join with other people to work on these issues?
I think for the very young kids, we're trying to, again, build the idea of resiliency and agency and empathy. And so those things might not necessarily be connected to a concrete action that's related to climate now, but we know that the skills that kids learn about how to be empathetic and how to see the world as interconnected, those are things that carry on throughout their life, so that when they are older, we're not asking kids to make changes or to contribute now. We're trying to get adults to help them have agency and empathy, mm-hmm. so that when they are older, they can take action.
And Lila, do you want to jump in the conversation now?
Hi.
Feeling a little scared?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can ask by proxy.
Yeah,
you
can always ask Iris to say something for you, okay? Yep. Wonderful. I know there's one more thing we wanted to touch on for sure, which is that you're doing research there at the Children's Museum about curiosity. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the wonderful things about having my kids here in the studio today is they get to explore their curiosity about what a radio station is and how it works. And we're learning as we go here today. Tell us about this effort to explore curiosity at the Children's Museum.
We have a really wonderful opportunity to work with a funder on a longer term project that would happen in a few years. But looking at the core skill sets that help kids' social emotional development and really sort of undergird things like empathy and kindness. And so in our work with the Center for Healthy Minds, they're very excited about researching this further as well, because before a child can really have empathy for another child, it usually starts with A, attention and paying attention and noticing that something's going on, and then B, being curious about what is happening with this child. So often when we first start talking about curiosity, people are very curious about the way this machine works, things more STEM oriented. Iris had a great curious question and attention. She paid attention that there are two David Landaus out there on the internet, and were they connected through their families? So very, very good. And so we're also looking at, in very young kids, where does curiosity play a role in developing all of these other skills?
Yeah. So what does that look like in terms of that project? Are you doing surveys or how do you check in with families about this?
Yeah, we've done some work with our staff and volunteers, and we'll be doing more surveying and talking, interviewing with kids, especially once the new exhibit opens. We have a graduate student from the Center for Healthy Minds who just started with us, who's working on that. And we've got room eventually to expand our exhibits into another floor of the museum that we're not using right now. So that's, you know, a little further down the road. Your kids will be a little bit bigger when those come to fruition, but we're doing the research and the work right now to think about how we might make exhibits that help support development of curiosity. So Iris, what's another thing you're really curious about today?
Well, right now, it's not just like today, but like in general, I've been really into science.
Cool.
So like the area where that pinball machine was, mm-hmm. I really liked
at the Children's Museum.
Yeah, I really like to explore like when those bubbles came up in that like plastic mm-hmm. tubes, and how it actually felt like when you were looking at the TVs, like you were moving, not the TVs.
Yes.
Like not the area inside the TV. Like I really liked to especially in pinball when I was trying to set a goal for myself. I was curious about to see how far I could get, how far I could keep that ball up.
Iris, you strike me as someone who might have a future in exhibit design at a children's museum, possibly.
Well, I do like touring play sets after like I'm very into that kind of thing.
Nice.
Would you be one of our testers?
I would.
Okay. That's great.
Myla, do you want to say hi now too? Okay, go ahead.
There was one thing that I loved at the Children's Museum that is an art activity that is really fun. And one time, there was an outdoor space with a slide that's really fun too. Mm-hmm.
Good. I love to slide too. Even as grown-ups, we get to have fun at the Children's Museum when we work.
That's our new Wonderground space, I think, that you're talking about in the back where we used to have a parking lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been completely transformed, right? There's so much to do out there. I want to remind listeners that you're listening to A Public Affair on WRT 89.9 FM. My name is Douglas Haynes, and we're talking about children's activities, resources for children's entertainment and education here in the Madison area outside of schools. We have a whole wonderful group of people with us today. If you would like to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 608-256-2001 extension 9. And we have a couple more callers on the line. Some familiar children's voices, I think. We have Evie and Clara calling in from Madison. Evie and Clara, good morning. You're on A Public Affair.
Say hi.
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 And hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
This is Stephanie. I'm their mother. And I just wanted to say we are huge fans of the Madison Children's Museum. We go there a lot. And girls, would you like to share anything you really like to do at the Children's Museum? No? Okay, well, I can share what I see them enjoy.
Okay.
I know that they love to go to the rooftop and to see the animals up there. And they also really love the art area and the Wonderground, the outdoor play area, which is really wonderful. Girls, is there anything else you'd like to share?
No.
Well, I actually have a question, if that's okay.
Sure. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Like I said, I love the Children's Museum. We go there a lot. We are members. And I was wondering if there are ways that the Children's Museum tries to connect with all the really wonderful outdoor opportunities for kids in Madison. You know, we have a lot of great parks that do a lot of walks and birding opportunities and learning opportunities for kids and adults, and also lots of other stuff too. And I was just curious about if and how the Children's Museum connects with that. And thank you so much for doing this show.
Thanks, Stephanie, and thanks to your kids for joining us. And I'm glad that you love things at the Children's Museum. And absolutely, we really want kids who and families who visit our museum to get excited about exploring the great outdoors. We are part of NatureNet, which is an environmental education network of places like Aldo Leopold Nature Center and the Arboretum and the zoo. And so we work with them on joint events. With our new exhibit, the Nice Age Trail, we're starting a new partnership with the actual Ice Age Trail. So we're going to work with them in the fall to do more family events to get families from our museum audience to meet up at different segments of the Ice Age Trail that are not far from downtown Madison to do more activities there and more exploration. We think we might actually get a little designation from the National Parks and the Ice Age Trail Alliance to be a little offshoot, you know, of the trail at our museum. So you can find us sometimes. We bring our programming to events at Olbert Gardens and other outdoor spots, and we'll be part of the city's Parks Alive event series. This, I think, will be the third summer coming up. I know the library is also part of it, bringing lots of different, we bring mobile exhibits and programs, but there's all kinds of activities that come to different city parks. Also, right around the time our exhibit opens, June 1st is Nature Nature Everywhere Day, and there's a Children in Nature Network National Conference that will be in Madison, and there will be a big Children in Nature Fair on June 1st near Monona Terrace, which is a very short walk to our museum where our exhibit will be opening, so we'll have a lot of great collaboration. So thanks for that question.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Stephanie and Evie and Clara. We're going to transition now. You just mentioned the library, and
yes.
I want to bring Tammy Ocampo into the conversation today. We have Tammy Ocampo, who is the Youth Services Manager at the Madison Public Library, with us in the studio today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Tammy, yeah. And I know you have a lot of events going on just specifically this week for spring break. So tell us about the We Read spring break program and some of the week's activities at the libraries around Madison.
Absolutely. Well, you know, there's always a lot going on at the library. And this week we have a special lineup of special events for children of all ages to help kind of celebrate the week. Starting with babies and toddlers, for example, we are having our regular story times, but we're also doing a program called Growing Voices Music Class, which is for caregivers and children ages birth to four to really learn and bond together through music. And then thinking about kids that are school-aged, a little bit older, we have our regular Minecraft club and board games and cooking classes. But we're also doing some special programming around, for example, many libraries are doing Building Stories with Legos program. Iris might be into that, building with Legos, you think?
Yes. I went to a different library and did that, and I think and I learned it was really fun, so I might do that.
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely.
The Monona Public Library has a sort of wall of Legos there.
Oh, yeah. Right. Many libraries do. And we are also doing some special programs. For example, Sculpting Stories event at the Goodman Library, where a local artist, Jace Thorey, will be teaching the basics of sculpting, for example. So we're really trying to bring in lots of local artists and performers to provide some pretty fun opportunities for youth during spring break.
That sounds great. And it sounds like they're spread out for different age groups as well. Yeah, is that That's pretty right. typical of library programming?
Yeah, usually on our events page you can find something for everyone. You can sort by age to find what works for you and your family. Some programs are for families and people of all ages, and some are more specific. I was thinking about some of our programs for teens, too. I forgot to mention. Sure. We're doing lots of dance and yoga, wellness kinds of things this week, including cardio drumming with the Every Voice Music Collective. They say that it's a workout for your brain and your body, so you definitely want to check that out.
Great. Yeah, so lots of special events going on at the libraries, and those are kind of all around town as well, right?
That's right. Yeah. At the Central Library, and then we have eight libraries out in the community and our Dream Bus.
Yeah, is the Dream Bus going around this week too?
I believe actually the Dream Bus is on break this yep. week, and then we'll start again on April 1st.
Okay. And there's also a writing contest going on, the We Read Youth Voices Writing Contest. Tell us a little bit more about that and how people can get involved.
Yeah, I'm really excited. This year, our theme for the Youth Voices Writing Contest is Celebrate Small Heroes. So you were talking about empathy and kindness, and that's kind of the theme for our writing contest as well. The contest, while it doesn't begin until April 1st, during this week, during spring break, you can definitely, we invite you to stop in and pick up a free writer's notebook to help you kind of get the juices flowing, I would say, to think about what you might want to write for the Youth Voices Writing Contest. And I don't think I said this, but the theme was chosen this year by our youth ambassador, Dia Dewal, and she's from the Middleton High School, and she is going to be one of our community judges, and she's really been inspiring us for this year's writing contest.
So she's a high school student who's going to be helping to judge
exactly.
the contest. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And is this an annual event? Has it happened before?
It is. I think I want to say this is the third year, and we've had incredible success. It's been so much fun, actually, partnering with Forward Madison and working with community judges to read the incredible contributions, sort of an opportunity to uplift youth voices. And it's been pretty amazing. I see Iris.
Yeah,
has a question.
Iris, thank you.
I just wanted to say that I go to Canopy Dance, and when I walk back, me and my sister usually stop by the library and either look at what craft there is there or go downstairs and check out like a book or two.
Oh, I love that. What kind of books are you guys reading these days?
Well, right now I've been reading, really obsessed with Percy Jackson and Sparkles and Death in Sparkles.
Oh, I love that.
Isla, do you want to say something about the library too? Go ahead.
There's a book that's like a circus book. And it's really fun, but I forgot what it's called.
Okay.
Thanks for sharing that, Lila. Do you have particular memories, Tammy, of the recent writing contests and what kinds of stories that young people tell? And are they fictional, more memoir, both?
It could be anything. The beauty of this contest is you can submit poetry, you can submit spoken word, you can write anything that you're wanting, that you're comfortable writing and sharing. And it, you can do it in any language that you're comfortable with, too. And what's really neat is that we choose three winners that get to be recognized on the field at the Forward Madison game in August. And they will also have the opportunity to get their stories published in the 2024 We Read Youth Voices Anthology. The grand prize winner will actually get $500, which is pretty exciting. And all of this is made possible through generous support from the Madison Public Library Foundation and their donors.
Wonderful. And I really like the way that you're sort of highlighting, celebrating youth voices and encouraging kids to write in all these different ways. And that's one of the things we try to do here on this show is really encourage the work of local culture. And one of the reasons I wanted to focus on kids today was because there are so many great cultural opportunities for kids in Madison. And you all are really involved in that. And I wanted to make sure people know about the great work you all are doing. So that's the We Read Youth Voices Writing Contest at the Madison Public Library. Is there a deadline for that, Tammy? Do you know?
The program begins on April 1st and goes through June 30th.
Okay, so
and
people
you can submit your writing, I think, online and at any Madison Public Library location that you might be visiting or on the Dream Bus.
Yeah.
Big Lila and Iris.
Okay.
Well, I just wanted to say, how old do you have to be in the writing contest?
I'm so glad you asked that question. I forgot to mention that this contest is for basically any child age 6 to 18.
Great. Yeah. Lila, did you want to ask something?
So, like, why do you have to be 6 to 18 to do the writing contest?
That's a really good question, Lila, because you're 5, right? You're just right on the edge.
You know what? I tell you what, Lila, you absolutely could write a story, draw a picture, tell a story, and submit it to the Madison Public Library. Maybe we would reconsider that whole concept. Thank you for that question.
That's agency right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Tammy, do you want to take this opportunity to tell us a little bit about books you're recommending to young readers these days?
You know, one of our big messages for summer, for spring break, for all year is really that you should read whatever you enjoy reading. If it is a graphic novel, if you like to listen to audiobooks, if you like to read books in other languages, if you however you like to read, magazines, whatever you're excited about, it all counts. And that's sort of our main message for our We Read program is however you and your family read, it all matters, it all counts, and we're here to celebrate that with you. And you can always stop into a library and ask the librarian for some ideas about what you might be wanting to read or some fresh ideas of new books. We have lots of information on our website that give parents some ideas about new books that are out and things to support their family. So I would encourage everyone to check that out on the website. It is, which is at madisonpubliclibrary.org. And we have an events calendar there, and all of our resources are listed on our webpage.
Thanks, Tammy. And I just want to remind listeners, in our last 10 minutes here, you're listening to A Public Affair on WRT 89.9 FM. I'm Douglas Haynes, and I'm talking today with Kia Carlin from the Madison Children's Museum, Brenda Baker from the Madison Children's Museum, and Tammy Ocampo from the Madison Public Library. We're talking about educational and entertainment opportunities for children in Madison and ways that children can not only be entertained and educated, but be involved in the culture of the Madison area. And speaking of involvement, I think we have another youth contribution here in the studio. Go ahead, Lila. What do you want to say? It's okay. Lila had a blank, but I want to remind you there's still time if you want to call in and join the conversation out there with observations or questions, great experiences you've had with youth activities in the Madison area. The number is 608-256-2001, extension 9. There's still time to give us a call here in the next 10 minutes. I want to, now we have kids eager to talk again. Go ahead, Iris.
Well, I was just saying, right before winter break, I got pneumonia and I called in. I asked it was about the birth count, and when I asked, I got this weird answer that I really didn't understand much about. That's all I really wanted to say.
Okay. But there's another example of kids getting involved. Lila, go ahead.
I never called in. I never even been here.
But Shali Pittman, our news director, was telling me before the show that there have been lots of kids who have contributed to WRT in lots of different ways, including running the soundboards here when they're a little bit older than Iris and Lila here. But there are lots of ways for kids to get involved here and contribute to this cultural institution here in Madison. So that's good for folks to know as well. Kia.
Douglas, we have another text in from a listener. So my friend Francis, who I mentioned before, Francis and her mom Maggie just wanted to relay the message, and their message is, we love Iris and Lila. So there you go.
Well, we did go to the same school, and we both did go to Huber School, and we are pretty good friends.
All right.
Well, I think, we are great friends.
Yeah.
Very good. Good to hear.
Nice to make that connection on the radio as well. Thank you, Kia. Kia, I know you also wanted to share with us special spring break programming and hours at the Madison Children's Museum.
Yes, we told you a lot about things coming down the road a ways, but we know kids are out of school this week and the weather is not the best. And so we have lots of fun things at the museum. We've extended our hours this week. Usually during the school year, we're closed on Monday and Tuesday, but we are open right now, and we're open tomorrow through the whole week through Easter Sunday on the 31st. So there's lots of fun to be had at the museum. Thursdays, we stay open until 8 p.m. and we have free admission from 4 p.m. until 8 p.m. So that's a great way to come check out the museum. We find on Thursdays on our free nights, we see a lot of kids who think that they have sort of outgrown the museum, but they really kind of want back at it and they stay up a little later. So it's a fun time to bring your 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old, your 8 and 5-year-olds as well. The rest of the time, there is an admission fee, but we have an access for everyone program that everybody can use. So don't let the thought of an admission fee keep you from checking us out. You can get on madisonchildrensmuseum.org to learn more about that, or just stop on in, because we welcome everyone and we want you to come on down. This week, every day in the afternoons from 1 to 3 p.m., we have different drop-in activities you don't have to register for. You don't have to be on time at 1 o'clock. You can just come and check them out. So they range from garden activities to printmaking to all kind of marble mazes, lots of fun things to try out.
I was just going to ask you, Kia and Brenda, about, you know, access issues around the Children's Museum, and I'm glad you mentioned that program. Tell us a little bit more about how it works if people, you know, are hesitant about asking about those access passes. What are the best ways to sort of, if you want to go but can't pay to get your whole family in there and get into the museum?
I know WRT doesn't usually do event ticket
pricing, but I will say that that we have a $1 admission rate available at any time to anyone, and you don't need any special documentation that you need it. It's right up there on the list of prices, so it's hopefully very easy to do. And then our family memberships basically give a family a whole year of free admission where you don't need to pay every time you visit, and that starts at a very, very low rate too. So we're a private nonprofit. People sometimes think we're a public city organization like the library, but we are not. So we raise money to help cover the costs, and then we get what people can afford when they come through the door. So we hope folks will try us out.
Yeah, thank you. And Iris, you had something you wanted to contribute.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that me and my grandparents live right across the street from the Children's Museum. Well, they don't they live halfway, half there, half in New Jersey. Uh-huh. And when they come there, we are at least once every visit, we have to go to the Children's Museum. And during COVID, we went outside. But now, I'm really hoping I can explore inside for once again.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm glad your grandparents are neighbors, at least half of the year. Yeah.
Go ahead, Lila.
I like the animal space in the museum. Because there's that fake ice cave.
Oh, yeah. That was up for the winter, and we're switching over to spring things. But, yeah, we did have a all winter, an ice cave kids could explore. Yes, you have another comment.
Well, I really like the interactive stuff, but my favorite part was playing with water. And when I outgrew that little thing where you could play with the water in there, I was devastated.
Oh, dear. You know, when you visit, if you talk to the staff and say, I'll be gentle around the young kids, you can come in and play with that water dome. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Go ahead, Lila. One last word.
I like the water scene too. And there's those little toys that go with it.
Yeah, yep, there are lots of things to playing with water is super fun at every age. So, yes.
So much great interactive stuff at the Madison Children's Museum and at the Madison Public Library as well. It's, of course, not just books. And tell us anything else you want to share about opportunities at the library before we have to wrap up here, Tammy.
I just wanted to mention, too, that all of our libraries have updated play materials for younger kids. And I'm just feeling like your girls would love to go and explore all of our play materials that are available at the Central Library and any of our branches as well. They're shaking their heads. I think they agree with me.
Absolutely. And we've really appreciated what still feels like the new Penny Library over on the east side with such a great children's space as well. We unfortunately are going to have to wrap up this hour. There's so much to talk about, but we need to move on to the next great program here, Madison Book Beat, here on WORT. So I want to make sure we thank everybody and thank you listeners for joining us here on A Public Affair. I'm Douglas Haynes. I've been talking today with a full house of guests talking about the rich opportunities for children's activities and education in the Madison area. So most recently here you heard from Tammy Ocampo, Youth Services Manager at the Madison Public Library. Thanks so much for coming in, Tammy.
Thank you for having me.
And we've also had with us Kia Carlin from the Madison Children's Museum. Thank you, Kia.
Thanks for having us.
And also from the Madison Children's Museum, Brenda Baker. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And earlier in the show, we had David Landau kicking off the show with some kids' music, Madison's King of Kids Music. Shout out to you, David. And thank you all for listening here to A Public Affair. I want to thank our staff here at WRT as well. Engineer Andrew Thomas, who had a juggling act today with all these voices. Thank you, Andrew. Producer Jade Iseri Ramos, News Director Shelley Pittman, Receptionist Amy Letsky. And I want to thank my daughters for being here and joining in this experience today as well. Iris Haynes.
Thank you so much. It's been a great honor.
And Lila Haynes.
thank you so much. It's been a great honor too.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us today on A Public Affair here at WORT 89.9 FM Madison. Stay tuned for Madison Bookbeat. Host Lisa Malosky is in conversation today with Ann Garvin about her book, There's No Coming Back From This.
Bye-bye, sweetie pie. See you later, alligator. Bye-bye, sweetie pie. Bye-bye, sweetie pie. Bye-bye, sweetie pie. See you later, alligator. Bye-bye, sweetie pie. See you later, alligator. Bye-bye, sweetie pie. Bye-bye, sweetie pie. Bye-bye, sweetie pie. See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. See you soon, you big baboon. Bye-bye, sweetie.
Hello, this is Julie Candler with the BBC News. The UN Security Council has for the first time adopted a resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and the immediate and unconditional release of all hostages. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu responded by cancelling meetings between Israeli and US officials. From Washington, Gary O'Donoghue reports.
This is a significant step for the UN, which has been deadlocked for months over endorsing calls for a ceasefire. 14 countries voted in favour, with none against. The United States said the resolution threatened the diplomatic efforts currently underway to negotiate a deal. Nevertheless, Washington abstained, allowing the resolution to pass. A spokesman for the National Security Council, John Kirby, expressed disappointment that Israel had cancelled a high-level visit to Washington this week in response and insisted US policy hadn't changed.
The governing coalition in Senegal has congratulated the opposition candidate Bassirou Diomaye Faye on winning the presidential election. Provisional results showed Mr. Faye had a strong lead over the former Prime Minister Amadou Ba. Mr. Faye was in prison less than 2 weeks ago and campaigned on a promise of radical change. An appeals court judge has granted Donald Trump an extension to pay a much-reduced penalty in a fraud case in New York. From there, Neda Tofik.
This was really the court throwing Donald Trump a Hail Mary, a lifeline, right as he was due to have to pay more than $500 million to make